This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Help me welcome to the program investigative journalist, Pulitzer Prize-winning author David K. Johnston. His most recent book is Free Lunch, and he is the author of a recent article in Mother Jones Magazine, Who Ran Away with Your 401k? David, recap for us, if you can, your basic thesis in your book, Free Lunch, which, by the way, is fantastic.
There are a whole host of other actions where government, by its interference in the market, is remaking the economy for the benefit of what I call the political donor class. And then I point out that from the official government data, the bottom 90% of Americans make the same income now that they made back in 1980, but the super rich, they're doing extremely well. In fact, just 30,000 people, Coy, 30,000 men, women, and children, back in 1980 got one penny out of every dollar of income in America. Now they get 6 cents out of every dollar.
So the basic idea is that the rich get richer, the poor get poorer, stay the same, and if you can afford to give enough money to a very powerful person in Washington, you can help write the rules, and they will take money off the top as it comes into Washington and just hand it to you.
That, and in the local and the state governments as well. We're busy destroying locally owned businesses for these politically connected businesses, and basically all of the gains, the economy's grown a lot in the last 28 years, but all of the gains are going to the top.
We're talking with David K. Johnston. His latest book is Free Lunch, and his latest investigative piece for Mother Jones Magazine is Who Ran Away with Your 401k? David, remind us who Jon Snow is and why his story is so important.
Well, Jon Snow is probably best known for being the second Treasury Secretary in the George W. Bush administration. He then left to run the company that owns Chrysler and that also owns the firm IAP Worldwide, which you probably never heard of, but that's the company that did the shoddy work at the Walter Reed Army Hospital.
Ah.
And they were the ones who were contracted for all those trucks full of ice to get down to New Orleans that never got there, among other things. But in my article in Mother Jones, I tell about how Jon Snow, who ran the CSX Railroad, worked there for 25 years. But when he retired, he got a pension based on 44 years of service. And it didn't just count his salary, as it would with rank-and-file workers. He got to count his bonuses and his long-term incentive awards and even the stock that the board of directors gave him as compensation, things which are illegal if done for rank-and-file workers.
But he got to do it because?
Because Congress has set up two separate pension systems, separate and unequal. One is for people who make less than $250,000 a year. There are very strict rules about it as to what you can get, and there are very liberal rules that allow companies to underfund these pensions. That's why you see pension plans failing all the time and in bankruptcy companies shedding their pension plans. On the other hand, there are essentially no rules on those at the top who have a separate system, and in theory, the executive pension plans, Coy, are risky. If the company goes bankrupt, in theory, these workers at the top will be wiped out. Except that when I was at the New York Times, my colleague Diana Henriquez and I spent a lot of time digging into the records of 10 big companies that went bankrupt and where the workers' pension plan was the stock of the company. So the workers were basically wiped out, not the executives. In their supposedly risky pension plans, they got 100 cents on the dollar in every case.
So the government has set up basically two rules, one for, you know, executives, high-powered, well-connected executives of major companies, and then the rest of us.
That's right. Absolutely. And it's part of a fundamental pattern that in Free Lunch and my previous book and the one I'm working on now, it'll come out next year, I've been laying out to people in plain English. Because one of the keys to this, Coy, is they write this stuff in the most unbelievably complicated ways so that you can't understand it, but they're very, very well-paid lawyers do.
We're talking with David K. Johnston. His most recent book is Free Lunch, and he is the author of a recent piece in Mother Jones Magazine, Who Ran Away with Your 401k? So, David, tell us, let's get into some details here and tell us exactly what's going on and give us some of the examples that you write about in your article about what these executives are doing and how it hurts us. I mean, that's ultimately the main point. I'm all for somebody who does a good job to be paid well, but this is ridiculous.
I agree with you. No question that if you're doing a good job, you should be paid, and I certainly don't want the government limiting what companies can pay executives so long as it's an honest system. But, well, let me give you one example. You can earn a pension, and normally a pension is the number of years you worked for the company times the salary you earned the last 5 years, the average of the last 5 years, times a percentage, typically about 1%. So if you work for the same company for 30 years and you retire, you expect to get 30% of your pay. No inflation adjustment, just 30% of your pay for the rest of your life. Well, it turns out you can lose half your pension because companies can offset your pension with Social Security. Now, it used to be they could take away 100% of your pension. They would tell you, oh, when you retire, Coy, you're going to get X dollars a month for the rest of your life, and then you'd find out you get nothing because you got Social Security. In 1986, Congress passed its idea of reform. You can only lose half your pension to Social Security.
So explain how that works, because I'm a little confused.
They're allowed to do what's called an offset. So let's say that your pension is $500 a month, and your Social Security check is $800 a month. They can say, well, you got your $500 from Social Security, so we're only going to give you $400 of the $800. Your $500, we're only going to give you $250, half of that. So you'll get your Social Security and $250 instead of your Social Security plus $500. And it's just a rule in the law. There's no reason for it except that ordinary people don't understand this is done and what's done to them about this, and they get cheated out of their money. Here's another one
You.
A lot of pension plans are in trouble because they don't have enough money in them. Well, the law says if a plan is fully funded, that is, it has enough money to pay what are the expected benefits to the workers, you can't put more money into it. Yeah, technically you can, but the rules make it so that no one does. Well, when the stock market's high and you're invested in stocks, it looks like you got a lot of money in the plan. Then the stock market falls like it did now, like it did back in the early part of this decade, and suddenly the plan is short billions or hundreds of millions of dollars. And the company says, well, the economy's bad. We can't put money into this plan. And so on top of that, if you don't put money into the plan or you put in the absolute minimum you can calculate, the company's stock is worth more because its profits are bigger, doesn't have as much expense for the pension plan. That means the CEO's stock options are worth more money. That means he gets richer to the extent that he can suppress the payment of your pension.
So the CEO who runs the company has a financial incentive to make sure that the folks who are working for him and making the company tick aren't taken care of.
That's right. Now, here's another one for you. John Boehner, the minority leader, the Republican leader in the House, was the sponsor of something called the 2006 Pension Protection Act. And if there was ever a misleading piece of legislation, this is it. Under this law, if you're in a single employer pension plan, that's what most people are in. You work for your employer and it has its own pension plan. A lot of people are in multi-employer plans, though. Say you're a construction worker, a carpenter. Every little general contractor in town is not going to have a pension plan. So there's a single plan for all the carpenters in the area, for all the brick masons, for all the truck drivers. Okay? Well, if you're in a single employer plan, your pension is guaranteed up to $51,000 a year, basically $1,000 a week. If you're in a multi-employer plan, it's only guaranteed up to $1,000 a month. Well, Mr. Boehner has arranged to see to it that companies can convert their single employer plans into multi-employer plans, and if the plan fails and you were counting on getting $1,000 a week, you may suddenly get only $250 a week. By the way, I'm in a plan that's happening to, and I expect that my pension will be cut by about 40%.
Wow. And it's like they're changing the rules as you go.
That's right.
And yet these people continue to work, continue to get up every morning, go to work, bust their butt for these companies, and yet the folks in the boardroom change the rules on them.
That's right. And people don't know about this. And here's one of the best examples of this, Coy. You know, companies go to their workers all the time in the last couple of decades, and they say, you know, competition is really fierce out there, and we just can't afford your health care plan anymore or your pension plan, or we're going to have to cut your wages because of competition. Well, a lot of that is not the competition of other companies. It's the competition in the executive suite, because when executives put money into those plans we talked about at the beginning, the ones like Jon Snow got 44 years of pension credit for all of his compensation instead of 25 years just for his salary, the company sets money aside for these executives, but they're not allowed to deduct it. And if the executive defers part of his pay, just like you and I might do in a 401k plan, only for executives you can put away unlimited amounts of money, the company doesn't get to deduct that. That means it costs more. And I'll give you a specific example. Say you were the CEO, Coy, of a company, and you got $105 million for the year, and you said to the board, well, I only need $5 million in cash to live on, $3 million after taxes, so I want you to take the $100 million and invest it for me. Well, the company now has to spend $140 million to give you the $105. $105 is for your account and $35 to pay the taxes on your behalf. Well, you do that with all the other senior executives. You do that with year after year after year, and pretty soon you're talking very serious money. So the company goes to the rank and file and says, we can't afford your stuff anymore because of competition. But it's not competition with the companies. It's competition with the guys in the executive suite who are taking all the money in the pay pool.
We're talking with David K. Johnston, investigative reporter. His most recent book is Free Lunch, and he's the author of a recent article, Who Ran Away with Your 401k? David, what's your response to, you know, a lot of people in this country believe that this kind of work that you're doing, you're just attacking the free enterprise system. A company should be able to do whatever it wants to do, and that we have to be able to give these tens of millions of dollars of, you know, golden parachutes to these CEOs, or you won't get the very best people at the top.
Well, you know, in addition to being a journalist for 40 years and winning a Pulitzer Prize, among other things, I founded a company. I have about 20 employees. I'm part owner of the company, and I'm chairman of the board, and I have been involved in many other enterprises. I absolutely believe in the market system, and free lunch heavily relies on the wisdom of people like Adam Smith and even Andrew Mellon, whom I cite as a moral authority. Remember, he was the banker and oil man who was the Treasury Secretary back in the 1920s. What we're seeing going on in this country is not market capitalism. That's one of the big problems we have. If we had market capitalism, I'd be happy as a clam. But we're not. What we're seeing is the rigging of markets through the government by those people who put up the campaign contributions. This goes on with both parties. And one of my favorite little facts I dug out and put in the record a few years ago was Bill Clinton gave the 1,000 highest income people in America a tax cut that was 60% bigger than all the Bush tax cuts combined. And I'm the guy who went and dug that out, okay? So there's nothing partisan about this either. My books are about how market economics will make us all better off. And we don't have market economics. We have the government interfering. We have the government making massive interest-free loans to people. We have the government diverting money forcibly in ways that are very subtle. You don't see it, but you are forced to provide subsidies to very wealthy people. It's destroying local business. It's distorting our economy. It's making health care vastly more expensive than it should be. And it's hurting our economy. It's not helping it.
We're talking with author David K. Johnston. His book is Free Lunch, How the Wealthiest Americans Enrich Themselves at Government Expense and Stick You with the Bill. Required reading as far as I'm concerned. It's a fantastic book and it will blow your mind. David, looking out in the future, this new administration, does it get any better? I mean, do you look at Washington now, and say, "Hey, well, at least there's some kind of hope," or do you just see, same game, different players?
Well, clearly, Barack Obama is a very decent, well-intentioned, and highly intelligent person. I don't think anybody would question those things about him. But he's also surrounded himself with people who are a key part of this problem. And many of the policies that he's been pursuing are not, on an economic level, greatly different than the other things we've seen over the last 30 years. Some of them are different, but not all of them. The bailouts, for example, I've been very critical of the bailouts, that we're putting all this money into bailing out the wealthiest, most sophisticated people in the country and not ordinary Americans. whom incentives were set up to deceive many of them into getting loans. It turns out, by the way, depending on which study you read from the different government agencies, that between 1 in 5 and 7 in 10 of people who got these bad mortgages, the things that are called toxic assets, that just means bad debts,
right,
they qualified for regular prime mortgages. They were put into these bad mortgages because the brokers got huge fees, sometimes three times the usual fee up front, for selling this stuff. And by the way, you know who holds most of those bad mortgages?
Who?
State government pension funds, endowments of colleges and universities and other charities who had this foisted on because they're not as sophisticated as the financial press, which I used to be a part of, makes them out to be. And so if your state pension fund for the state police and the nurses and the school teachers is heavily invested in these things and they lose money, you're going to pay again to make up for those losses. That's why the rules government sets matter.
Yeah, we pay in taxes to make up for those losses in the marketplace.
That's right, and you're paying far more in taxes than you need to. And by the way, one of the other things quite a lot of people don't know is if you make $26,000 a year, by the way, half of all jobs in America pay $26,000 a year or less, your total federal tax burden that you bear individually in income, payroll, and Social Security taxes is significantly greater than if you're one of the 1,000 richest people in America whose average income is $266 million a year. The share of your income that you will pay to the federal government is 25% greater than if your annual income is $266 million a year if you only make $26,000.
So the working poor among us are paying higher taxes proportionally as compared to the wealthiest among us.
That's exactly right. And under Clinton and George W. Bush, the people at the very top had their effective tax burden cut from 30 cents on the dollar. And remember that when you hear somebody out there saying, oh, the government's taking 60 cents on the dollar, I heard on one of the cable news shows the other day. The top tax rate's only 35%. The government was taking from the very highest income Americans when Bill Clinton came into office 30 cents on the dollar of their income in taxes. It now takes 17 cents on the dollar. That's right in the official government data, and that's what I rely on for my work. I don't talk to politicians nearly as much as I spend my time reading the official government data.
David K. Johnston, Pulitzer Prize-winning investigative journalist. His book is Free Lunch, and his latest article was from Other Jones Magazine, Who Ran Away with Your 401k? David, it's always an honor to talk to you. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Coy.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit seavillepodcast.com for more.